League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
And it's good to be here on a Monday night. We've got a good game underway. Steelers leading the Buccaneers 9-7 with 11 minutes remaining in the second quarter.
Not an offensive juggernaut, but you know what? Good game, evenly matched, it's looking like.
Yeah, with the Steelers' defense really playing poorly thus far this year, and with Fitzmagic underway, I might have thought this would be an offensive showcase. A lot of points on the board tonight.
You know, the Steelers' defense being so porous, you know who they're missing? And it just occurred to me over the weekend. Ryan Shazier, you know, obviously he is recovering, and hopefully he'll be back on the field at some point, but not only his talent, but his leadership, right, being the field general for them. I think that has been an enormous, enormous challenge for Pittsburgh to pick up and try and fill a hole of the shoes of Ryan Shazier.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because there he is, a linebacker, and sometimes the linebacker position doesn't get the credit or the notoriety. When you look at how dollars are often allocated within a salary cap world, a lot of dollars go to the defensive ends who can get sacks or that shutdown corner.
Sure.
But look what Shazier has meant to the Steelers' defense. Look what Sean Lee means to the Cowboys' defense, or Luke Kuechly for the Panthers' defense. These linebackers are making they're leading the team in tackles, and they really are catalysts for strong defensive play.
And look what their team looks like when they're not on the field.
Wholly different team. Cowboys last year, when they lost Sean Lee, were a very different team defensively. Now, they think they've got an answer with Leighton Vander Esch as a fill-in for Sean Lee, but it's hard to replace a guy of that talent.
So, there we go, Pittsburgh.
So, Steelers playing without Le'Veon Bell. He still holds out. Now, the rumors are he will be traded. There are teams talking to the Steelers. Is there any one team that you'd like to see him go to? Do you think it's a good fit for his talents?
It's not my job to do that.
There we go. That's
on
exactly
the Texans,
what I was thinking, Jose.
You are thinking Texans, aren't you?
I am thinking Texans because they've got their number one option with Lamar Miller.
Yep.
And they have a serviceable backup with Alfred Blue. And that's it. And let me tell you, they need some more help on the ground.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at what's gone wrong with the Texans. They're 0-3 when we return on SB Nation Radio.
Yeah. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Jose's playing a little sort of cocktail lounge music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he just poured himself one in there, didn't you?
I did.
Well, look
at
him. Me
and Carla had some during the break.
Well, I thought it was only appropriate for you to have one, too.
And he's wearing a velvet blazer.
Always
does. I like it, Jose.
Took Bobby's velvet blazer.
Exactly.
He is the man. All right. The Texans now own the longest losing streak in the NFL. First of all, did you hear that? Once the Browns won, it's now the Houston Texans. The team of J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, all those guys, DeAndre Hopkins, all that talent. And they've got the longest losing streak in the NFL. How can that be?
It's called coaching. It's called coaching. And I don't want to blame one person. And I'm going to be on the record of saying I have been a Bill O'Brien supporter.
You really have been. I know I've been your co-host for a while. You've always sort of taken his side on questions, but
over it.
You're over it.
I'm done. I mean, yesterday it was painful to watch that game. They were out-coached. They were out-schemed. They were out-worked. And all of that comes from the top down. Because if I go down that roster and I look at a number of pieces, I look at DeAndre Hopkins, I look at Will Fuller, Deshaun Watson, Nick Martin, I look at J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, Bernard Rook McKinney, Jadeveon Clowney, Tyrann Mathieu, our honey badger. They've got some talent. And then we brought in some great new tight ends and Reed, the kid out of Stanford on the safety side. We have talent. It is absolutely being wasted by poor coaching decisions. And if I hear Bill O'Brien say one more time, it was the play calling, it was on me, get an OC. You've been the OC for 2 years, and it's been a terrible, this is the second year, it's been terrible.
It's not my job to do that.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. It does raise the question, is it his job to be the OC and the head coach? That's very rare in today's NFL.
And it shouldn't happen, because he's not a quarter whisperer, he's a quarterback ruiner. I am done with this. I have lost patience. When this team comes out to a slow start, and every game they have, that starts from the top down. They pick it up in the second half. I mean, Deshaun Watson had a respectable, not even more than respectable, 3 for 385 yards, a couple touchdowns, but looked like he was half asleep in the first half. The coach has got to get the people going, and penalties? Don't get me started. Julian Davenport alone, 4 false starts and a holding in yesterday's game. This is, I don't even know what else to say.
Jose,
do
you see the smoke coming out of her ears?
I'm really scared right now. I've never seen her mad.
I know. This is I really tried to calm down before I started talking about this, and I just can't do it. I'm too invested, Jose.
Yeah, I've never seen you upset like this. So
it is interesting. It's the back-to-back thing. I mean, losing to the Patriots week one, a game they might have won, but they did lose it. But losing to the Patriots is one thing, and losing to the Patriots in New England, you can sort of say, well, that's always difficult. But to lose to a Blaine Gabbert-led Tennessee Titans team, and to have the miscue on the special teams play where they didn't cover up the gunner and there was a free touchdown given to the Titans, that's questionable. And then to lose to the Giants. I mean, remember, the Giants coming into this game looked pitiful. I mean, when you go back to the week prior, the Cowboys were in Eli Manning's face all game last week. The Giants' offensive line couldn't get anywhere. They were not playing well, and yet suddenly they looked pretty good in that first half yesterday.
Credit the Texans. They allowed Eli Manning to have this highest completion percentage in his career yesterday at 86%.
How can that be? His highest completion percentage in a very good long career. And he had his best day yesterday.
He's 37 years old.
It's amazing.
The thing that frustrates me the most, and this is why I'm probably the most upset, and I would say this from week 1, 2, and now 3, and even against the Patriots did not beat the Texans. The Titans didn't beat the Texans, and neither did the Giants. The Texans beat themselves. That is a coaching issue. That is a culture issue. That is a problem, and it needs to be rectified now, because you're wasting a franchise quarterback. You're wasting a 3-time defensive player of the year. You're wasting Tyrann Mathieu. You are wasting talent. This has to stop now. Stop the bleeding now. It needs to be changed.
Of course, Bill O'Brien has signed a 5-year deal with the Texans, something they awarded him in the offseason.
Okay. Can you explain? Help me with that. Help me with that. Because, I can see with the player, you know, if they, a year before, you want to redo their deal a year before they become a free agent. You want to lock them up because there's going to be a big demand for them. That's your talent on the field. This is a coach.
Lock him up.
This is a coach that had a 4-and-what season last year that is now owns the largest losing streak in the NFL. And what do the Texans do? They sign him a year early to an extension. I am scratching not only my head, but I might have to scratch your head too.
There's not much hair up there, but that's another matter.
Plenty of hair. Plenty of hair. But tell me, why do you do that as an organization? I
think there was a perception that he was still a hot commodity, and if they didn't sign him, they might lose him.
Which, by Mrs. Bill O'Brien?
Which, yes. I mean, when you look at it now, and the team in the midst of the longest losing streak in the NFL, it just seems folly. I don't really know what went into that deal, but a 5-year extension, one, that's a long extension, and two, you signed it to a guy who's really struggled as a head coach.
And the play calling? I could go on and on, but every single drive, the first play, do you know it?
Let's go handoff up the middle to Lamar Miller.
My gosh, shocking. You do know it. My dog knows it. They do it every single drive. There's just got to be some creativity. But I don't want to completely beat them down because there were some bright spots. Special teams looked good yesterday for the Texans.
And second half, J.J. Watt returned to form.
3 sacks for J.J. Watt. Looked fantastic. Kareem Jackson, money. Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, he looked fantastic. Will Fuller, 5 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown. Love it. Deshaun Watson and his escapability, because he's got a line that is on vacation. 24 of 40 for 385 yards, 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. That's a good day. But man, oh man, a lot of questions to answer.
With those 2 outside receivers, Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, you'd love to think there's some openings down the middle for the tight end, and they just don't have a tight end with any productivity now. I mean, Ryan's not getting it done.
Well, they've got 2 tight ends, new ones, in Aiken and Thomas.
You
and
want the 2 Jordans on
Jordan
the field.
Jordan Aikens,
yep.
Jordan Thomas. They need to use those guys. They both had beautiful catches yesterday. Ryan Griffin needs to be watching these rookies and see how they get it done.
Well, Jordan Aikens showed me something in the preseason.
Yeah,
you've
always loved him.
I've liked him from the beginning, just his body type, his ability to move. He went up and made the catch. Ryan Griffin just doesn't seem to get any separation. He's a slower, methodical guy, maybe a better blocker, but
he's slow, though.
There's got to be room in the middle of the field with those 2 great receivers.
And Jordan Thomas, 6th-rounder out of Mississippi State. He's 6'5", 277, and fast.
Yep.
Use these guys. You've got them.
Well, in modern-day football, a big target in the middle of the field, that's a really great weapon for your offense. And they've got 2 guys they could develop. I'm a fan of both those Jordans. We'll see which one emerges as the primary go-to guy. But it is time to give the other guys some opportunities based on the lack of productivity they're getting currently.
And these slow starts have got to stop. You cannot look like you're playing the first half in quicksand. That's what they've looked like. Whew. Anyway, I need to calm down now. Whew.
Fair enough. She takes a break and relaxes and her blood pressure declines, I'm going to tell you that coming up next, we're going to get a chance to talk to Travis Rogers. He is the host of the Rams, the LA Rams, the undefeated LA Rams. He's the host of their pre- and post-game show. He's also a former member of our radio network. He's a great guy. We're going to get to talk to him about the Rams and all things NFL, including the Chargers, the big battle of L.A. that took place. It'll be Travis Rogers when we return. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this one's going to be fun. We have joining David and Carla here on SB Nation Radio, Travis Rogers. He's the host of the Rams pre- and post-game, but never mind all that, what he does for the LA Rams. I'm going to introduce him as former radio show host here on our radio network. And see, Travis, first of all, welcome. But second, notice when you leave, all chaos breaks loose because I step in behind the mic.
I understand the plan all of a sudden now.
All of a sudden. Yeah, well, I needed my chance. I had to
ask you.
There just wasn't room for both of us.
I completely understand. I completely understand. It's good to hear your voice again.
Some people will do anything for a chance behind the microphone.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. And I'm introducing you to Carla Dawson, whom I'm not sure you met when you were here. But she's my co-host, and we are excited to visit with you. Let's start with the Rams. You host their pre- and post-game show. Rams look like the class of the NFL. But they've got some injuries now. I mean, their two corners look like neither of them will play next week. How big a setback is that?
I think it's significant. I agree with you. I think that they have really kind of separated themselves, maybe along with Kansas City. They've separated themselves as the best team in the NFC. Their offense looks, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say unstoppable, but very difficult to stop. They're putting up all sorts of points. They've scored 33, 34, and 35 in their three games. They've been absolutely fantastic. But like you said, David, you're talking about Aqib Talib is going to miss some time, and we're not quite sure how much time Marcus Peters is going to miss, but it seems like it might be some significant, I don't know if it's a game, 2 games, a month, or however long it might be, but those two guys kind of make the entire defense go. They allow Aaron Donald to do what he does. They allow Ndamukong Suh to do what he does, because you can leave those guys out there by themselves. You guys in Houston obviously remember Wade Phillips and what he brings to a defense, and he's out here in L.A. with Sean McVay, and he's able to dial up more or less whatever he wants when you got corners like that. And those two guys missing is going to be a big deal. I think that the Rams have their biggest test of the season, obviously, coming up on Thursday against the Vikings, who are coming off of a bad loss. But they're off to a great start. But missing those two guys is a big deal, yeah.
And, Travis, do you think, coming off the best game of his NFL career, has Jared Goff silenced his critics with his offense?
You know, it's a good question, Carla. I think that I was kind of thinking about this today on my show, and we were talking about it. I think what this comes back to is Jared Goff got poisoned by Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher's offense was so terrible. It was so inept, and Jared Goff looked so hopeless in it that I think everybody, both across the country and certainly here in Los Angeles, kind of looked at Goff and thought, oh, okay, they picked a guy that can't play. It's a bust. It happens in the NFL. Sometimes you pick the wrong guy, he can't play. And I think that was the consensus on Goff. So when Sean McVay comes in and all of a sudden Goff looks incredibly competent and incredibly skilled, instead of the compliments going towards Jared Goff, where I think they certainly belong, they went to Sean McVay, who I think deserves a ton of credit for what he's done. But it's almost like we decided Jared Goff couldn't play and that anybody that made him a good player would get all the credit, when I think that the credit should be split equally. I think until Jared Goff does a two-minute drill where he, you know, the Rams are down 4 points, they got a minute to go, they got to drive 80 yards and get a touchdown. Until he maybe does that a couple of times, I think there's always going to be a sense that, yeah, he's better, but it's mostly Sean McVay that's doing the work, whispering in his ear. And I don't agree with that, but I think that's the perception.
We're talking to Travis Rogers, who is, among many talents, the host of the Rams pre- and post-game. Travis, I want to ask you about Wade Phillips. You mentioned him. Sort of an interesting guy to me. I've always enjoyed sort of following his career. He's been a much more productive defensive coordinator than head coach. And then when you look at his defensive coordinator role, everybody says, well, he's so good because he just lets his players play, which almost says, well, he's not that much of a defensive coordinator. Why is he so successful? What makes him stand apart?
I think what he does, and it's a good question. I asked the same question. I did a show for a few months with Marcellus Wiley, who played for Wade Phillips in Buffalo, both as the head coordinator, or I should say as the defensive coordinator and as the head coach. And what he says that makes Wade as effective as he does is that he does let guys do what they do well. He doesn't try to decide, okay, this is my defense and this is how we're going to fit. He figures out what his players do well. He lets them do that and encourages them to do what they do. The people here in L.A. love him. His players absolutely love him. And I think maybe more than love, they certainly respect him. And that, you know, some guys are better coordinators than head coaches. I think Wade falls into that category. I don't know if he has the edge and the nastiness maybe necessary to be an effective head coach. He's had a few cracks at it. It really hasn't worked all that well. But as a coordinator, he's the best in the business. And his players absolutely love him. They respect him. They listen to him. They do what he asks. And he asks them to go out there and play hard. And they do that every single week. Their defense has been great so far.
So, Travis, looking at the NFC West, we've got Jimmy G out with an ACL injury, Seattle with their own set of problems, Arizona with a zero offense. Are the Rams a virtual lock even this early to win the NFC West?
I hate to do it because I'm...
They are!
I
would hate to put a whammy on it, but yeah, I mean, something extraordinary would have to happen. Mm-hmm. With Jimmy G going down, I think coming into the season, the division was heavily tilted towards L.A., and maybe the second-best team in the division was probably going to be San Francisco, or at least potentially San Francisco. And with Garoppolo going down, obviously they're dead in the water. Russell Wilson's always a dangerous player. He's really good, and you can't count them out. But Seattle's looked pretty bad through two of their first three games. I guess if something, you know, knocking on wood right now, happened to Todd Gurley or Jared Goff, then maybe it's all bets are off. But at this point, they're heavy favorites. Yeah.
We're talking to Travis Rogers joining us here on SB Nation Radio. So let's talk about the Chargers, that other L.A. team. How are they being received in L.A.?
It's weird, David. It's almost like they don't exist. Hmm. It's bizarre because the people in San Diego were very loyal to the Chargers. They were great fans to the Chargers. And when they left, they were hurt. They did not follow the team. They were not, you know, hey, I'll make the 90-minute trip up the road to go watch them in L.A. They were angry, and then they decided, okay, I'm gonna tap out. So they lost the vast majority of their San Diego people, and they arrived in L.A. to a place that, you know, it's not like they dislike him. They don't care. It's like they don't exist. They play in a soccer stadium. It's small. It's mostly filled with the other team's fans. It's a really weird phenomenon because we went 22 years in L.A. with no football, and we did fine. It, you know, it was one of these things that this market is not crazy for sports. It's not crazy for its NFL teams the way a lot of other people are. If you're good, we'll come and we'll watch it and we'll support it if it's fun to do it. If not, we'll go find something else to do. And the Chargers have been mediocre since they got here. They don't have an identity in this city. They don't have a connection to this city. So until they get very, very good, they're going to have a hard time drawing people.
Fair enough. Hey, we got you to talk L.A., and I'd love to shift gears for a minute to the Lakers. Travis Rogers joining us. He is a morning show floor general on a show called Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis is on L.A.'s own KSPN. So I want to ask you about the Lakers. Is there any chance to get into the Jimmy Butler sweepstakes, or are they just sort of resigned that this is a transitional year where they don't really contend?
I think that it's kind of halfway in between those two things. I think what'll be interesting with LeBron and the Lakers this year is where are they after maybe 30 games? And if they're not good, I think you might see them make a move and maybe try to adjust what they're doing midseason. I think if they're very good, if they're contending, I think that maybe you might see them try to go very big and maybe try to, you know, we'll see what happens with Jimmy Butler, but maybe they can fit Kawhi Leonard loose. We'll see how that goes, how he does in Toronto. But I think this year is more of a let's evaluate exactly what it is that we have. That LeBron will be LeBron, but what is Lonzo Ball going to look like? Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart had a really nice second half of last season, had a really nice summer. So I think it's going to be which of those pieces fit best with LeBron moving forward. And then in the upcoming summer, whether it's Klay Thompson or Kawhi Leonard or anybody else that might come loose, then you try to fill in accordingly. I can tell you this, that there's no way that LeBron can come here and just kind of spend a season. This is his 16th year in the league. So to come in and say, I'll wait a year to get going again, I think would be unusual. I think he's going to get into it. I think he's going to be patient to a point, but then I think he's going to want to go for it, and I think that the Lakers will accommodate him.
I agree. I think he was setting some expectations today at Media Day, trying to get, you know, calm down the fan base, but I agree with you 100%, Travis. Thoughts on the Lakers' offseason additions? They added Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, Michael Beasley, JaVale McGee. You think those guys are going to be impact players for the Lakers?
I think of the four, I think Rondo will be. I think Rajon Rondo is an excellent NBA player, and I think he's even better when he's with guys that he respects. And I think that he respects LeBron. I think that he'll respect Luke Walton. I think that he understands that he's on a good team. He's on an organization with a rich tradition. So I think he will be the best version of him. And the best version of him that we've seen is championship caliber basketball. We saw it in Boston. We saw how good he was with playoff Rondo last year when they blew out Portland in the first round. I think he'll be a big deal. I think he's going to push Lonzo. I think he may play ahead of Lonzo. I think he may play more minutes than Lonzo, which I think ultimately is really good for him because Lonzo needs to be pushed. The other guys, the Stevensons, the McGees, and Beasley, I think those are more guys that will get limited minutes. I think they're veteran guys to kind of maybe have somebody around that LeBron can relate to as opposed to these young guys, but I don't expect them to have a great deal of impact. Rondo, I think, is a big deal. Everyone else is less so.
You mentioned Luke Walton, too, Travis. Really like Luke Walton. Luke Walton is the coach. Is he going to be able to coach LeBron? And honestly, can anybody coach LeBron? Or are we going to have the player coach that LeBron was in Cleveland?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you hit it on the head. I think that that Luke could coach LeBron if LeBron wants to be coached by Luke. You know, LeBron has been tough on his NBA coaches. And not that he's a coach killer. I wouldn't go as far as that. But he's going to demand excellence from that head coaching position. And if he doesn't think he's getting it, there may be some consequences. There may be a change here or there. But Everyone that I've talked to in the Laker organization, every player that I've talked to, everybody that I talked to that covers the Lakers and other teams, without exception, everybody talks about how much everybody likes Luke Walton. His greatest skill is his ability to get along, his ability to connect, his ability to deal with personalities. I mean, if you lived with his crazy father for as long as he did, you learn how to deal with different people. So he certainly learned that skill as a young guy. So I think he's going to be fine. Magic said the other day on our show that, you know, people need to calm down, that even if the Lakers get off to a slow start, that Luke's not in any trouble, that he's going to be the coach of the team this year, and he has full confidence in him. So I think Luke will do a great job.
Good, I like it.
Great stuff. That's Travis Riders from KSPN in L.A. and the host of the Rams Pre and Post. Travis, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, David. It's good to hear you again, and please ask again. I'd love to do it.
Great. Thanks. All right. That's fun to hear. His perspective on L.A., he's down on the ground there, and I think he's right. I mean, it will be very interesting to watch the dynamic between Luke Walton and LeBron James.
And Luke Walton is the perfect guy because Travis hit the nail on the head with living with a dad like Bill Walton.
Yeah,
you learn to deal with a lot of different personalities. And then remember, he was under Steve Kerr for years at Golden State.
Right.
I mean, that's learning for the best.
I loved Big Red, though.
Bill. Oh, I love him, too. I think he's awesome.
All right. We'll be right back with the He Said, She Said segment when we return. Also, updates from Tampa and the Pittsburgh Steelers-Buccaneers game.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
You bet, and joining us on the Bet DSI inside line is Mike Pepper. He's at Raymond James Stadium where the Steelers and the Bucs are underway here at Monday Night Football. Mike, what's the update there on the ground?
Thanks, David. Yeah, we are just under the two-minute warning. The Buccaneers are in the red zone. We'll keep you up to date on that, facing a second down as Fitzpatrick is looking for an opportunity, and they will face a third down. But how we got here, it was 7-6 when we left you. And the Steelers had a big sack by Anthony Ciccolo that knocked the Bucs out of field goal range and could have extended their lead. And at that point in time, the Buccaneers seemed to control the Steelers, but then Chris Godwin fumbled, and it was the first of four turnovers by the Buccaneers in this one, all in the second quarter, and it really turned the game around. That Godwin fumble led to a 28-yard touchdown pass, Ben Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown, which gave the Steelers the 16-7 lead, and then an interception in the red zone. His pass was knocked up in the air by John Bostic, and Mike Hilton took it as the Bucs looked to be cutting into that lead. Instead, it turned out to be an opportunity for the Steelers. And it was two more Ryan Fitzpatrick interceptions. The magic seemed to have ended. The second one concluded in a Bud Dupree 8-yard interception return. That put us at 23-7 just before the 2-minute warning. But right as we struck the 2-minute warning, Ryan Fitzpatrick hit a beautiful pass, 51 yards to Mike Evans that set the Bucs up at the 5-yard line. The third down pass now to Chris Godwin is incomplete. And as we speak, Chandler Catanzaro is out for a 21-yard field goal, looking to cut the Bucs' deficit to 23-10. It is in the middle of the field. We do have a minute 17 remaining here in the half, and we do have a 23-10 game. Steelers leading. Bucs turnovers have really hurt them here tonight.
Very good. Thank you so much. That's Mike Pepper on the ground as the Steelers and the Bucs battle on Monday Night Football. All right, it's time to shift gears and go to our award-winning segment, the He Said, She Said segment. We will hear what various sports luminaries said during the week, and we will comment on them. And no better place to start than perhaps the best coach in college football, Nick Saban, who gave a message to the press this week. He had a really important message for the media. Let's hear what Nick Saban had to say.
One thing I'd like to say to everybody, and I don't want to get into the rat poison again, but, you know, we got a good team, but our team needs to do a lot of things to improve. And if what our team has accomplished to this point makes them in any way not take into account the kind of teams that we have to play in the future, and they underestimate what we need to do to improve so that we can become a better team, And don't just take things for granted that we're going to show up because we got Alabama uniform on and win the game. It's not going to happen that way. And it's going to be everybody's choice in the organization. All right, so I'd appreciate it if you would, you know, sort of look at some of the things we didn't do so well, right, and write about that. So maybe I can show it to the players and say, look here, man. Here's something you can do better.
He's enlisting the media as if he needs any help.
Well, you know what, though? This is good coaching.
Yes, it
is. This is don't rest on your laurels, because the minute you do, you're going to get blindsided. And it's exactly what Patrick Mahomes did with his reaction to his record-setting game yesterday, the Chiefs over San Francisco. It wasn't, look at, you know, I broke Peyton Manning's record, blah, blah, blah. It was, there's things I can be doing better, and look, that's the sign of greatness. And
I remember his great quote last year, rat poison. That,
oh, that was
when the media is saying you're doing well, when the media says positive things, it's like rat poison will take you down a bad trail.
Sure.
I contrast that. It's sort of funny because we're down here in Houston and you hear the Longhorn fans of UT Longhorns, University
we're
of Texas,
back.
That phrase, we're back. When they have a big win, when they beat USC last week, we're back. When they beat TCU, we're back. Imagine that in a Saban world, and hit, we're back implies that you've arrived somewhere. There's never an arrival for Nick Saban. It's always we're in a process, we're moving forward. The very notion that
it's evolving, it's always evolving.
Always evolving, always needing to improve. There are always things you've got to work on. So the very statement, we're back, almost implies you've arrived, which is probably got to be. If Nick Saban were here, he'd try to work that out of that Longhorn system.
That's blasphemy in a Saban environment.
Yes, it is. You just don't declare we're back. You just don't arrive. You're always working for more.
No, and you know, interestingly enough, yes, UT did garner wins over two big-name programs in TCU and USC, two programs that are struggling. Definitely USC is struggling. TCU, I don't think, is, you know, lived up to their rate, their billing. They got, you know, spanked by Ohio State, and the same at UT, so... You know, we'll see when they get a real contender with them, too.
All right, let's shift gears. The next one is Rob Gronkowski, Gronk, talking about the apparent trade, the trade that could have sent him to the Detroit Lions. Let's hear what he had to say about the big trade.
There was a report today that said you were almost traded to the Lions but threatened to retire. I just wanted to get your comments on that.
Yeah, it happened. And Brady's my quarterback. That's all. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
Yeah, it happens. It's football. But there's only one thing we can do, and it's dig ourselves out of the hole that we started at the beginning of the season.
So it is interesting. It's now out in the light of day. Patriots were willing to trade Rob Gronkowski, probably their second-best player after Brady. Mm-hmm. They were willing to trade him to the Detroit Lions. There was a deal on the table, and Gronk said, no, I'm not doing it. I'll retire if it happens. So the Lions, of course, backed out, and the deal didn't happen. But an amazing revelation, frankly, that Belichick was willing to trade him.
Well, that's what I find the most fascinating. It's not Gronk's reaction. That's absolutely his reaction. Basically, he grew up with Tom Brady. They, you know, grew up in this system together. It's kind of like how Edelman and Brady are with each other. Like, yep. They are each other's yin and yang. I don't fault Gronk at all. I am curious to why they would, and maybe it's durability issues with Gronk. He's not on the field for a full season very often, and that could be the reason, but that's pretty shocking. I was surprised to learn
that. Well, it's shocking, particularly also when you consider the Patriots traded Brandon Cook last year. So he was their best wide receiver, and then you have Gronk, their great tight end, and the thought they would have traded both of them away, you would almost think they were rebuilding, but you're not rebuilding when you've got Tom Brady in the twilight of his career.
No, and at that point, they knew Edelman had torn his ACL. They didn't know Amendola would be going to Miami.
Yep.
But yeah, interesting thought. Don't know what that thought process was.
And, well, Lions won yesterday, but imagine if Matt Patricia had Gronk on that side.
Oh, boy.
Matt Stafford wouldn't mind having Gronk line up on his offense.
He did. They did take Gronk out of the game yesterday. It was a rare no-show for Gronk.
All right, let's go to the Packers, where Clay Matthews was talking about he's gotten flagged for hits on the quarterback the last couple of weeks. Let's hear what Clay Matthews has to say about the NFL rules on hits on quarterbacks.
Well, obviously, I don't agree with it again. You know, whereas last week I thought I did it, you know, it hit the quarterback correctly. Head was to the side again, wrapped him up. And you see, as soon as I hit the ground, you see me try and pull my hands out. you know, obviously when you're tackling a guy from the front, you're going to land on him. You know, I understand the spirit of the rule. I said that, you know, weeks prior. But when you have a hit like that, that's a football play. I've never heard of anybody tackling somebody without any hands. When he gives himself up, as soon as you hit him, your body weight's going to go on him. But, you know, I think we're looking for the hits, you know, that took Aaron out last year. You know, that little extra. If I wanted to hurt him, I could have. I could have put, you know, some extra on him. But, you know, that's football. So, I don't know. You know, I really don't know. Unfortunately, this league's going in a direction that I think a lot of people don't like. You know, I think they're getting soft. And, you know, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to keep playing hard.
Well, he's expressing what a lot of people are feeling around the NFL. Tyrone Crawford of the Cowboys was flagged for basically the same penalty, landing on the quarterback with the full thrust of your weight, which is really hard to avoid if you're coming at full speed toward a quarterback.
Yeah, rushing at a quarterback. I do agree with trying to limit the helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yep.
But this is a rough game. This is a dangerous game. This is a violent game. So what we saw yesterday is that you actually can get injured trying to avoid putting your full body weight onto a quarterback. I agree with Clay Matthews, and he has definitely been singled out. I mean, he is a fiery player. He's an amazing player. He's a veteran, and he has been called for roughing the passer in all three games of the season thus far, and it's not consistent across the league. It's not being called on a consistent basis, so he does have reason to complain, I'm going to say. And you've got to protect the safety of your quarterback for sure. But as Richard Sherman pointed out, what about the safety of everyone else?
Yeah, duly noted. I mean, it's interesting. You can't go low on a quarterback. You don't want to hurt his legs. You can't go high on a quarterback. He hit the quarterback right in the sweet spot in that sort of stomach area. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, you're bent over, you're running full speed, you're going to land on the quarterback. But NFL's got to sort that one out.
21 roughing the passer calls in the first 2 weeks. I didn't add in yesterday. So, wow.
All right, let's shift gears to the game of golf, where Tiger Woods won the Tour Championship yesterday, and boy, the world of golf welcomed him back. That was a really exciting moment. Let's listen to the play-by-play.
No matter, the tap-in for Tiger. We thought we'd never see it, and I don't believe he thought either. Tour Championship winner. Tiger Woods, a winner again, number 80.
That play-by-play, courtesy of ESPN, it was really striking to me to watch almost the crowds following the Messiah down the fairway. I mean, this guy...
It was like a rock concert.
It was. He is a rock star. It's unbelievable the following he has.
I have to say I agree with the announcer who said, I never thought I would see this again. Mm. Four back surgeries, four knee surgeries, 42 years old. I didn't think I was going to see this again either. It's not a major, no, but where he's come from ranking in the 1,200 or 1,100s in the world to now in the top 20, that's nothing short of amazing. And you give that little window to a competitor like Tiger Woods, he slips in. He's going to be doing some good things.
Well, Vegas has now anointed him as the favorite for next year's Masters.
I'm sure they have.
Given the trajectory he's on, people are seeing he's going to win a major again, is the conventional wisdom today.
And let me tell you, not only is the PGA excited, but his competitors are excited. Mm-hmm. Because now the galleries are bigger than ever. The game is bigger than ever again. He is almost bigger than the game. It's crazy. It's crazy. Good for him.
It is. All right. Today was media day in the NBA, and Kawhi Leonard was interviewed. Let's hear what Kawhi had to say, or at least listen to his laugh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yourself, and what would you like people to know about you?
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
He's right there.
Yeah, the glasses, there you go. All right.
Well, Carlo, let's hear that laugh from you. It's a little quirky, is it not?
Well, I just think it's fascinating that Kawhi calls himself a fun guy and then he laughs like someone that's behind bars. And
there it is. One more. See? He likes your sense of humor.
Or he's got labor pains. But if you saw it, I urge you to actually look at the press conference because he looks like he's just lost his dog.
Oh.
Oh, Kawhi, we wish you the best, but you got to get that laugh improved.
All right. He's a better basketball player than he is with a laugher. Right.
He will be doing laugh tracks.
That's he said, she said. When we come back, we will close out the show by looking at what we learned today from Carla Dawson, The Gloss, on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and The Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So much wisdom. So much intelligence.
From Jose.
From Jose. No, I learned it all from The Gloss. You know what I'm saying, don't you, Jose?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, so let's just rehash a few of the things I learned. First of all, you think Kawhi Leonard has a unique, if not quirky, laugh.
It's a Halloweenish laugh.
He was laughing at your laugh. So he's good. It works for him.
It works for him, and he might have a job after he's done playing, you know, doing laugh tracks for shows. Who knows?
Maybe so.
It's definitely unique.
And then there was a window in the show that was not a laughing matter,
oof,
which is your perspective on the Texans and why they are why they have the longest losing streak in the NFL, the longest current losing streak.
We took a whole segment going through why they had a long losing streak, and I still wasn't finished.
Well, I'm sorry. You're out of time.
They keep me up at night.
What I learned is you're frustrated with the head coach.
Very.
Yeah.
And I really stuck out for him, and now I'm over it.
Okay. When I asked today, where'd you like to see Le'Veon Bell land or where he might be a good fit or might have a good impact, you went with the Texans.
I did.
It would be really interesting to put him in there because it would be some relief to Deshaun Watson, who's having to carry a lot of the offense. The running game isn't really working well. Bell could take a lot of the heat off of a young quarterback.
Do you like him with the Texans, or do you have another place for him?
I do, if you didn't have to give up much. And the other dynamic with the Texans is their offensive line isn't really good. So.
Do they have an offensive line?
Well, they've tried.
Okay.
Yeah, they were the ones committing the penalties. Surely you saw that.
Exactly.
Yes, they were there.
Right. That's what they're good for. Okay, good.
All right. Another thing I learned from you is when Blake Bortles looks good in a big win over the Patriots, as he did a week ago.
It's going to bite you.
Don't buy it. Don't count on a repeat. I did. I bought in. I thought he was on his way.
I know. I'd love to be wrong on that because I like Jacksonville. They're exciting.
Well, he regressed big time yesterday.
He did.
All right. And lastly, Harvard to Harvard. You believe in Harvard. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing, a Harvard grad, a 4-yard touchdown pass to a tight end, Cam Brate from Harvard, a rare event in the NFL.
And it's looking like they need to bring that out for second half.
All right, the gold standard, Adam Gold, when we return on SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.